Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the November 17th edition of the PFF Forecast. I'm George. We're recording early on a Thursday. Mixing up a little bit. We've still got two sets, though. So. Judah Fort Gang, who usually joins us for live in-game strategy, is out today, but we've got some notes from him, so he'll do a quick live and alt-spread segment as well. It's going to be a great podcast. Let's rock. Kick it off with Seth Galina. Seth, you did a nice cameo on It's Just Football, great show with Mike Renner and Trevor Sikma that you can watch every morning at 11 a.m. Or sorry, 8 a.m. I think it's 11 a.m. Eastern time and 8 a.m. Pacific. You were in full hoodie mode. You did not wear the hoodie today. What does that mean? What's the sign that you're sending us?
The sign is that I showered this morning.
Okay.
Like, it's pretty easy thing to figure out there. It is cold, though. And I think I might have to go to a hoodie at some point this afternoon. But
how many inches of snow are you? You're in Canada, for anyone, any members of the press that don't know. Seth is live up north. And, of course, we're looking at apparently 3 to 6 feet of snow in Buffalo. Although what I've read is that it's supposed to be pregame. So who knows how much of that is in game, but are you experiencing any of that?
We got snow yesterday for the first time. First snowfall of the year. Always a pleasure to see the first snowfall of the year. Very beautiful. After that, snow can go to hell, to be honest. But the first one is always nice.
Speaking of people that don't look like they shower often, Aaron Rodgers, not you, Brad, don't worry. Aaron Rodgers on Thursday night, Packers 4-6 against the spread, Titans 6-3. 7-2 against the spread. Current line is Tennessee plus 3.5, total at 41. Looks like it's going to be 21 degrees, light winds, nothing too crazy in Green Bay. So Seth, let's start here. Packers coming off of a spirited win. Aaron Rodgers beating his former coach, Mike McCarthy, Dak throwing a couple of interceptions in that game, and the Packers squeaking out a win as an underdog at home. Now at home, a favorite of more than three to a Titans team that I think, while 6-3, is not one that people feel incredibly confident about given the record. So all that said, what's the biggest matchup in this game that you're looking at?
Well, I think like the matchup, and this, you could say it's basically any Titans game. It's going to be like, where does Jeffrey Simmons line up? Because he is one of the best interior defensive linemen in the league, really. I mean, like, maybe number two behind Donald, kind of like always number one. He's probably number two. So, you know, if he goes against a guy like Royce Newman or something like that, like that could be a really, really big advantage in the Titans' favor.
So Jeffrey Simmons, he was on the injury report, if I remember correctly, or he didn't play last week, right, yeah, Brad? He backed full health
last week. Yeah, but he's not expected to miss tonight.
Okay.
And I have to give the Titans interior D-line credit for last week, because they're playing without Jeffrey Simmons, playing without Bud Dupree, of course, And just the entire D line was really still really, really good getting into the backfield against the Broncos. Obviously, the Broncos have their issues on offense. We know that, but still credit to the D line last week.
Yeah, my guy Tyre Tart, one of the best undrafted free agent pickups in a long time. We'll get right to that then. So yeah, this Titans defense is stout. But you know, the Cowboys defense is supposed to be stout as well. Only had 5 pressures total last week. Is the Packers offense back, Seth?
Yeah, I think this is really interesting because you look at the game, you know, on Sunday, they go out, they scored 28 points in regulation, get the field goal. So 31 points, we're excited. The Packers offense is back. Everyone's loving themselves. But then you kind of look at it and yes, like you said, the Cowboys have one of the top defenses in the league. However, they're very unique in what they do on defense. It's like they will show you one high safety looks and they will play cover one man-to-man coverage. Like that is their game. And against most teams that they can get away with it. But we've seen games, you know, the Eagles game on Sunday night a few weeks ago, and we're seeing games like last night where, you know, when you only do one thing, it's not it can be a matchup problem. Like you could still be a good defense, but just have matchup problems specific to the offenses you're facing. And, you know, playing against Aaron Rodgers and that and Matt LaFleur, they gave them some really, really big issues. The interior of the Dallas defensive line is not great. So they were able to run the ball a little bit. They were able to get outside because you can condense them very, you can condense their defense by you going into condensed formations and getting the ball out wide, which you saw a lot. And then just the man-to-man coverage, you can do a lot of things to get people open against men. This Titans defense is completely different. This is a, you know, we're going to show you two high safeties as much as possible. We are going to spin down, but it's going to be more into zone looks and getting into windows in that way. So very different defense. So I'm not ready to say that the Packers offense is back just because they beat the Cowboys. Again, very good defense, but I want to see them this week against a completely different style of defense to really know what's going on there.
You mentioned the different style, and just to piggyback off what Brad was saying, the Cowboys, an incredible pass defense, incredible pass rush. The Titans, a run defense that is incredibly stout. And you mentioned Jeffrey Simmons there, maybe, you know, only two, maybe only one defensive tackle in the entire league who's better than him, still top 5 graded defensive interior player. And the Packers kind of rode a combination of Christian Watson going insane and the run game sort of really persisting while Dak Prescott threw interceptions. Are any of those things, Seth, in your mind, indicative of future Packers success, especially against the Titans? Or was that a perfect combination of a Cowboys team that is better against the pass, playing on the road against a team that was able to run the ball while their quarterback turned it over?
That really is what it is for me. And I think, like, we look at Christian Watson. I mean, this is going to be my pick for my favorite bet tonight is Christian Watson under receptions. I think it's at 4.5 right now. Mm-hmm. He had 2 drops. Like, let's not forget, he had 2 drops to. So he did get targeted, but he had quite a bit. But he did have 2 drops to start the game. And then when you really look at those 3 touchdowns, it is truly an issue with what we talked about with the Cowboys playing single high safety, and then that safety Hooker just like not being able to make a play at all on all 3 of those big touchdown catches. That's just not what the Titans give you. So that would be something that like I said, it's just a unique matchup that the Packers came away with a W and scored a bunch of points. It's a very different matchup. So just, you know, pump the brakes a little bit for tonight.
Cowboys are 19th in EPA per rush allowed. The Titans are 4th. So a little bit better run defense, no question.
Mm-hmm. And interestingly, the Packers, and so we can get into the bets now. Seth, you just gave your bet, by the way, you absolutely incinerated or on fire, for those of you that don't have a well-established, a diverse vocabulary last week. The Packers actually averaging a worse EPA per pass than they are per run. I think there's, you know, are the Packers back? Well, look, over the course of the season, that passing offense has not been back at all. That figure is actually even worse than the Titans, who are not known as being a prolific offense. I'm going to go normally with a normally I go with a player prop. And while I do like a few player props here, I think the number one one that I would like from a player props perspective is actually Aaron Jones unders. I think under 86 and a half combined rushing and receiving might be where I'd lean. But actually in this game, I'm going to go with the spread here. I'm going to take the Titans on the money line, plus 150. I also like, you know, I think you could bet them +3.5 as well. Both of those are my two favorite bets for tonight. I just think that people are a little too excited about the Packers. Even though the Titans are overrated, they're not that bad of a team. So Brad, what about you?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the passing offense for Green Bay has struggled. Interestingly enough, Rodgers is our highest graded quarterback against pressure, but so he'll see a lot of it tonight, and that could help. But I'm with you there. I see it the same way, and I think it's going to be a one-score game almost the entire time. For that reason, I like Derrick Henry over 22 and a half carries. Nice. He's gone over that 3 out of the last 5 weeks. I think on a Thursday with a – well, first you're facing the Green Bay Packers, who are third in EPA per rush allowed. Not a good run defense by any stretch of the imagination. And then second, short week, you know, easy kind of let's keep the game plan simple. Let's just feed Trek Torcito all day long. I like him over 22 and a half carries.
Little sneaky, sneaky nickname in there. Okay, that is Thursday night football. Sunday night football is a flex this week. We've got originally it was Bengals and Steelers, and it has been flexed to Kansas City, Los Angeles, which is actually why we're doing this on a Thursday morning. Chris spent the week in LA since he was in San Francisco, and so I went up and had a chance to see the big boss last night. The Kansas City Chiefs, this will be his second time seeing Herbert in 2 weeks. Obviously the Chiefs, I think right now, probably the number one team in the NFL, but it was interesting, you know, talking to Chris a little bit about it and, you know, like, hey, you've seen most of the good teams in the NFL this year. You know, what do you think you know at this point? And, you know, the only thing that really came out was like, I think I know that Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, but I really don't know that we know anything else. You know, there's just so much that's kind of up in the air, and the Chargers probably as good of an example of that as anything else. You can't find anyone that agrees on the Chargers, whether you go on Elon's new universe on Twitter or anywhere else. They're 5-4, 6-3 against the spread, actually covered the opening line thanks to a missed PAT by Robbie Gould last week on Sunday night, 22-16 against the Niners. That closed at 8, so they obviously covered that number here at home. Air quotes there around home. They are a 6-point underdog to the 7-2 Chiefs, who are only 4-5 against the spread. But Mahomes absolutely on fire. They lead the league in EPA per play, EPA per pass play, 0.26. Absolutely, and they're practically lapping the field at this point. So, Seth, Chiefs Chargers. What's the biggest, most important matchup in this game?
So the Chargers in week two, when they played their first matchup in Kansas City, played, and we talked about it just now with the other matchups, like they played almost exclusively man coverage against the Chiefs. And this is like the thing that the Chiefs are seeing now. It's been talked about a bit. You have Tyreek Hill for 4 years or whatever it is. You don't see man coverage because you have no one who can play against Tyreek Hill. The Dolphins have Tyreek Hill now. They saw a lot of man coverage last year. Now they don't see any man coverage because you have no one when you're playing against a team to cover Tyreek Hill. So the Chargers played it just like a lot of teams are playing it, and I thought they were okay playing it. The issue is like they don't have players, right? The Chargers just have no players on defense, and it's getting worse. The injuries just keep, you know, compiling on that defense. So now you're in a situation where, the biggest mismatch is Kelce against Michael Davis, the corner, who they're going to have to put on him a lot when Kelce splits out. It's a matchup that has happened a lot in the last, let's say, 2 years since, let's say, Brandon Staley became the head coach and defensive play caller of the Chargers. They've had to use that matchup. They just don't have anyone else. They tried J.C. Jackson when he was healthy in week two. That didn't work either. So now you're back to Michael Davis. Davis allowed a catch where he was just bullied by George Kittle last week over the middle of the field. So that's just a bad mismatch. And they almost don't have a choice by the way they play defense. Well, want to play a lot of man coverage. It's that's what you're going to get, and it's not a good look.
By the way, that game in Kansas City, week two, Kansas City was favored by 4 at close, a total of 52.5. Of course, now in Los Angeles, Chargers, a 6-point underdog, total of 51. In that game, though, Joey Bosa played, Rashawn Slater played, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, both healthy in that game. Brad, real quick, Keenan Allen, is he going to be back? Mike Williams, is he going to be back? Obviously, both Bosa and Slater on IR.
If I could give you a good answer on Keenan Allen, I would be like a tarot card reader. I think so, though. You know, they've kept holding him out. It sounds like he's practiced individually yesterday, did not participate in team drills, but I think they're trying to get him back for this game. Mike Williams, I think, less likely. And then, yeah, Bosa, I'm not even sure if he plays the rest of this season based on the way Brandon Staley answered that question yesterday. So.
And
right, like, so
Bosa's the only guy who got any sort of pressure in that first game. Mm-hmm. And just the Chargers in general just can't get any pressure on the quarterback. But you saw it last week, Jimmy G, clean pockets, every play. I rewatched that game last night, and the Chargers defense is down bad. It's really, really bad.
Yeah, there's a reason they're bringing Derwin to play on the edge now and trying to do different things just to generate any sort of pressure and just to kind of stop the run. But all right, you mentioned it before, you know, the Chiefs facing a lot of man coverage. I think a big part of the reason they went out and got Kadarius Toney was to combat that a little bit. I didn't really understand why people thought he was a Tyreek Hill downfield replacement. If you watch Kadarius Toney, that's not what he does. But what he does do is a ton of pre-snap motion, great in the open field. 3 of his 4 catches last week, including his touchdown, were following jet motion. Are the Chiefs doing that just because he's a good athlete and they're trying to identify coverage? Or is there more to, you know, his prowess at moving pre-snap and what they can do with it?
Yeah, I think there's always going to be that where you can see what the other team, we can kind of get clues pre-snap when you got bring a guy in motion, whether it's man, whether it's some sort of zone, how they're going to rotate. And there's also, so that's, you know, maybe number one. Number two is just like, hey, we can get into some miscommunication error or just communication errors from the defense when we go from the strength of the formation being on one side to the strength of formation being on the other side. You have to check to whatever your, you know, the thing with the NFL, and I think we talked about this, is like, if you're in a 2x2 formation and you're playing, you want to play a certain coverage against it. And then when the team goes to a 3x1 formation, you want to check to a different coverage. So you have to make these communications and you have to do it in a simple way. So like just changing that picture before the snap always helps. And I think the other thing with Toney in particular was, there's, you know, you're going to get the kind of motion at the snap, and even you could call it motion after the snap, coming kind of from one side of the field to the other, kind of behind the line of scrimmage after the snap. And that's just a way to get him some space, because you want, you know, like you just said, he's not a downfield type of player. So how do we create space for him within 5 yards? Well, we get him on the run as the ball is snapped or just after the ball is snapped. So, and this plays into, well, first of all, again, man coverage. So you're going to get all sorts of motion and stuff like that just to take advantage of guys who are coming across the formation. You know, if he's man-to-man on one player, that player is running across the formation, you're always going to be late, right? You're always going to be behind that player because you don't know where he's going to go. You're trailing him. You can get him to the flat pretty easily for a completion. So, and this just plays into where I would go. I would go Toney. I don't have the number in front of me. I don't know if they're out yet, but Toney, whatever the, let's say the, it's 4.5, 3.5, something like that for catches. I would look at the over, because I think, again, man-to-man coverage, they've shown last week in his first kind of, let's say, full game as a Chief, that they're going to get him the ball in different ways. I love it. It's such a perfect recipe for a lot of Kadarius Toney catches.
Yeah, I'm curious what that total will be. Obviously, people, it won't be anything close to what it was the week before. You know, I think there's been a lot of excitement about Kadarius Toney, some news about, you know, how could the Giants have let this guy go? Brad, where are you going in this one?
Yeah, this is a tough one. We obviously took the Chargers when they were at 7 on Sunday. It's mm-hmm. now come down to, I see 5.5 or 6. I think that's really all I liked there. I guess you could now tease the Chiefs down if you wanted to. But yeah, I mean, Seth kind of touched on it. We just don't really know what the Chargers are right now. Without the props out, there's nothing obviously I can lean towards there. I guess the one would be, and obviously they're going to get juiced up at all times. But I mentioned Derwin James has now played 27 snaps over the last 2 weeks at edge. Along the defensive line, they're trying to stop the run. He played 22 snaps through week 8 combined down there. He was in the box or back playing safety. So you're probably not getting a lot of him on Travis Kelce. You mentioned Michael Davis is not very good. So maybe a prop whenever that comes out, but I'm sure it's going to be like 7.5 or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, Chargers plus 7, I think, was the bet. And I think we got it on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's a little, maybe a little challenging to take the Kelce over receptions. But in this game where, you know, look, the Chargers are an underdog at home. I think that spread maybe, you know, we think it's maybe a little bit heavy. Obviously we took Chargers plus 7 there. So I'm not going to shy away from it. I think I agree with Seth. That's the biggest matchup advantage on the field. Although I think to Seth's point, it's not as if Kadarius Toney is going to have a particularly challenging one either, but Travis Kelce is the highest graded tight end in the NFL. He's still Mahomes' number one guy on primetime. Kelsey's going to show up here in Los Angeles. I'm with it. I'm going Kelce overs whenever they do come out, like a huge square. I'm fading all the sharp plays.
I think the Toney matchup is more of a matchup. No, first of all, it's not like they have like a million great cover guys. Right. You know, Bryce Callahan playing the slot might be the guy they match up, but it's more of a scheme matchup that you like, because you're going to see Mecole Hardman's going to be out, I believe, for another game. So that's going to give more opportunities for Toney. And just like they're going to get into bunches, they're going to get to stacks, they're going to create openings like schematically for quick throws to Toney. I think that's the matchup.
Imagine Juju Smith-Schuster as well, because he had that pretty nasty concussion. I don't think he's going to play either. So, yeah.
More love for both of those props then. Now I feel like a sharp. Great. Okay, we usually close out with a pet peeve from Seth, but I'm gonna go first. Pet peeve of mine, Seth. When people wear hoodies on camera with a little bit of, so there are a couple of ways that I don't mind hoodies in general, but I'm going to call it a couple of styles. I'm not just going to pick on you. I think the worst hoodie style that you can possibly have is actually the Dan Orlovsky, the hoodie underneath the sport coat. Nothing says I am confused. I don't know what age I am. I have no idea like how to dress than that look. I think that is the worst hoodie look you can have. But the second one, Seth, is what you were rocking earlier this week. I'm just so glad you're not doing it anymore. The hoodie on where the hood is a little tight. And so you've got like hair just shooting out the front. And you kind of look like a, I don't know, like a chia pet or something like that.
Look,
so
I don't have a lot of, I don't have a lot of hair left. Okay. So I need to show it off in any way possible. I need the contrast there.
You need it. Do you have a pet peeve for us this week?
Yeah, I mean, the pet peeve is just, you know, we've seen again, we've been talking about this for years, but again, it's like national NFL news, let's say, talking about the run game and people whining about, well, you can't stop no one can stop the run anymore because everyone's too small and the modern defense, and we don't have any big bodies anymore and everyone's soft. And it's like, oh, just like, can we just talk about the last 20 years of football? Like, if you had continued to play with three linebackers on the field and big nose tackles, then every NFL offense would have looked like the 2005 West Virginia Mountaineers, right? They're like, you just were like, we had to get away from those players, and then it's going to come back eventually. But like, defense is reactionary. You can't just be like, well, we're going to play wherever we want to play on our defense, and you guys do whatever you want on offense. Like, no, you have to react to what the offense is doing. You have to match personnel and so on and so forth. So like, to me, it's more the tone, like the whining about everyone's soft now, and that's why no one can stop the run and all that stuff. It's like, well, look, there's a history of this. Like, we can just go back and look at what happened in the last 20 years. So that's my pet peeve.
You tell him, Seth. Seth Galina, at PFF underscore Seth. A fantastic follow on social media. Again, he creates great content wherever he is, whether that's on camera or in written word. Also, of course, does a lot of great work for both Sunday night and Thursday night football, helping Chris and Kirk prepare for the games. Seth, we always appreciate you. Thank you so much for hanging out, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
Before we get to the impassioned reading, I guess you could call it, dramatic reading of Judah Forking's alt spread and in-game strategy for this week. Quick reminder that you can go get all of the great tools that we use every single day on the PFF app. That's all of the written content on pff.com that you normally are used to getting, but now you can have it one tap away on the PFF app. Search PFF in the iOS app store and download today. Plus, you have betting dashboards where you can link directly to your FanDuel or BetMGM accounts. You can place the bets that you like right from the PFF app. It's super simple, super easy. Some great analysis that is being added to every single day. And of course, fantasy insights, whether it be all the written content or the fantasy rankings and start sit tool that are right there as well. So go download that ASAP, get yourself set up for the stretch run. We're almost to Thanksgiving, so the season is about to start. Also, our friends at Manscaped are back. Normally I don't even read the ad read here. I just tell people, look, I use the product and it works. I still use the product and it still works. The Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, you can get 20% off from code forecast 20. I always talk about it. It's good for, like, especially in the summer when it gets warm, but don't let yourself go in the winter. Okay. Don't do it. Don't be that person. Get a leg up on the competition. Keep yourself in good shape and keep yourself looking good over the course of the holidays. Manscaped.com, promo code forecast, get the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. And they have a bunch of other really great stuff as well. They can add to your hygiene bundle. Last but not least, Symbol, S-I-M-B-U-L-L, is the stock market for sports. It's not a crypto exchange or a bank. Don't worry, it's neither of those. Use promo code forecast when you sign up your first deposit. It comes with a $30 money-back guarantee, and that promo code gives you a risk-free deposit of up to $500. So you can go buy the stock of the teams that you like most and then capitalize when they win a game and get dividends, or sell high and buy low. I can guarantee, or at least everything I know tells me that they hold none of their liquidity at FTX. At least that's my research that I've done in the past 10 seconds. So should be okay there. All right, Brad, we've got Judah not live in the flesh, but we have his words here in front of us. So what Judah Forking does every single week for us, if you're a PFF user on the PFF app, you see his great content. He gives us alt lines, in other words, a spread that is an alternate spread that gives you some better odds as opposed to just betting the spread that is published there in the book. And then also a strategy for live in-game betting. This guy basically is like a, you know, high frequency trader during games. And the way that he prepares for that is by putting together a strategy and then executing on it when he sees it. So Brad, I think it's only fair that we're going to give one alt line and then one in-game strategy here. Why don't you do the alternate line, since this involves your Chicago Bears, the team that we all bet on Sunday night.
Yeah. So Judah likes Chicago laying 2.5 on an alt line and the over 20.5 point total. Or you get +195 Chicago, -5.5 and the over 20, sorry, that is +195, or you can do Chicago laying a full 5.5 points and still that over 20.5 point total. And that is +275. So we, like you said, we wrote this up at +3 on our early spread picks earlier this week. But here's some of what Judah had to say. So following the mini bye after week 6, the Bears are obviously utilizing Fields rushing ability. You know, we've talked about that extensively. They've also increased in play action rate from about 30% to over 40%. And they are now, over the last 4 weeks, per his drive quality metric that he's talked about on the show before, second best over the last month and seventh best in EPA. The Falcons obviously have a terrible defense, cannot generate pressure, which is, you know, huge for Chicago with a bad offensive line, and our bottom 10 in the NFL in EPA per rush allowed, which we saw with Deontay Foreman running roughshod over them on Thursday night with the Carolina Panthers. So, you know, it's really based a lot on, he doesn't think the markets are pricing in this change for Chicago. They're still clinging to priors of both last season and the first month of this season when they did not use Justin Fields' legs as a threat at all. So that is his first and his favorite alt play this week.
When it comes to live betting, nothing gets me more excited than the Chiefs in primetime, because you have an opportunity to see them go down and then bet them. I think the Chargers game is a good example of a place where you might see that. So one of the strategies that Judah's employing here is starting with a Chargers money line bet pregame. And then, they're obviously a huge underdog here in this game. You can get the money line right now. Make sure that I have this correct. At plus 250, I want to say. LAC, actually, it's more like plus 210, I guess now. Start with that and then wait for potentially an opportunity to buy the Chiefs if they fall behind in a game that Los Angeles has to win. This is a huge game for them. Get Keenan Allen and Mike Williams back. Those pieces kind of come together. And the Chiefs, they're always, I feel like, a team where, they don't need to be extra motivated in the regular season. And so they're maybe a little more likely to just sort of, have these games where maybe they're not on for the entirety of the game. Expect them to win, though, overall, and then you can snap up the Chiefs and build yourself a nice middle in that game. So that's one strategy for in-game. And then another one, Brad, and I'm curious which of these you like more. Dallas, Minnesota, probably the biggest game of the weekend. Minnesota, only one loss, best record in the league, tied with the Eagles now. And if Dallas, they're playing Dallas, if Dallas falls behind early against the team in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, who's been a mastermind on scripted plays, take the Dallas Cowboys and Dak to close it out and bring it back and get closer, either win the game. Which one do you like better, Brad?
I think I honestly like the second one better. So the Chargers, and yes, they haven't had Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, but they've fallen behind by 10 points in the first quarter, not last week against San Francisco, but they did 4 weeks in a row. It was an NFL record for the consecutive weeks falling behind by 10 plus points in the first quarter of a game. They're not great early, and obviously his play is to bet them, hope they score, and then take the Chiefs. I'm not sure I love the approach there. Again, with those receivers, things change. But I love the concept with this Minnesota-Dallas game. Minnesota's great in scripted plays. I think we still don't know Christian Darrisaw's status at tackle, but I think you can get over that in the scripted area and kind of scheme around it early. But then if you're maybe trying to win the game late and Dallas is bringing heat and you don't have your star, our highest graded tackle in the entire NFL right now, Christian Darrisaw, it could rear its ugly head and cause problems later on.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. If Kansas City goes down early, you better believe I will be live betting Kansas City. But I don't know if I expect that necessarily to happen. But if it is, I will definitely snap it up. I think, that's probably my favorite bet every single week, is if Kansas City goes down, betting them to come back. All right, those are Judah's plays. Of course, you can find all of his great content on PFF.com and the PFF app, as well as on Twitter at @ThrowTheDamn. All right. It is time for us to go to the second half of our Seth doubleheader. All right, Tej is back again. We got, what would you call it that we got on Sunday night, Tej? Because we had Niners 6.5 closed, I want to say at 8. We got obviously the better of that number. Robbie Gold couldn't get it done for us. Missed the PAT. They win by 6 instead of 7. Absolutely brutal. So have you recovered? Because I don't know that I have. Have you?
I think we got like the strays of a little cowardice from, Kyle Shanahan. Just go for the touchdowns in the end zone. You have all these weapons. You're such a great play caller. Like just stop kicking field goals from the 1 or 2 yard line and put the Niners ahead by 2 scores and cover for us. But, he didn't want to do that. So that's what happened there.
Such a shame. All right. We go into this week looking to recover, bounce back week. So Tej, we'll start with you. What's your first bet that you've got?
Yeah. Want to bounce back here on some of the lines. So, I'm going to go with the Cowboys -1, -1.5. I like either wherever you want to find it. And I think like when you can get the slightly better quarterback at, basically an even money or pick'em type game, PFS power rankings tool has Dak, we're at 6 points above, a replacement level quarterback, and Kirk Cousins only worth 5.5 points. So you're getting the slightly better quarterback. You're getting the team that's better on defense, right? Cowboys have the 4th best defense in the NFL, according to EPA per play. Vikings have 13th best defense, according to EPA per play. And then on offense, like we know the Vikings rank 12th, and that's been pretty consistent the entire season. the Cowboys, we don't know necessarily what their offense, you know, ranks with Dak in a bigger sample size, but they do have a top five rushing attack. I think Tony Pollard has been really, really good for them. So when you kind of add all these things up, Dallas probably has the better offense in this game, and we know has the better defense going into this game. So when they can get, you know, the most pressure in the league out of anyone by stunting and really taking advantage of the Vikings' interior offensive line, I like them to kind of, you know, cover in this game and win outright against Minnesota this week.
Love it. Brad, what about you? What's your first one?
Yeah, so we just talked about our guy, Kyle Shanahan. Good coaches win, great coaches cover. But anyway, I'm gonna tease with the San Francisco 49ers all the way to 8 now. But Kyler Murray's still not practicing, and Colt McCoy now also has a knee injury, did not practice. So it could be Trace McSorley. Even if it is Kyler, this hamstring, we've talked about this before, but the hamstrings are like the story of the freaking season so far. So tease the Niners down to 2 points, and I'm going to go with the Raiders up to 8.5 points against Denver. Denver just can't win games by two scores. I mean, they can't score twice, period. So, you know, so I like the Raiders plus 8.5 and the Niners minus 2.
The story came out that the Raiders, as you called Brad, would fire McDaniels, but for not that they cannot afford to pay him and to pay another coach. Is that actually true? I mean, I get that they couldn't. So they would be on the hook for his entire salary. And is the reason that they couldn't fire him because they would just have no way? They'd have an interim this year, and they'd basically have to stick with an interim next year because they would have no way to compete for a normal coach. Is that the deal?
So there's usually tiered buyouts in all these contracts. And I'm guessing, though, with McDaniels, he made it so difficult to pry him out of New England. And I'm sure he's got a Jimbo Fisher level deal where I'm sure it's like he's getting the vast majority of the money still, even if they fire him. They paid Gruden a settlement after giving him the 10-year, $100 million deal. It is true. I know it sounds silly to say, hey, an NFL owner doesn't have the liquidity and cash to do this. The Raiders and Mark Davis, they don't own any assets besides the Raiders. So, I called that. Like, I think it's kind of obvious, unfortunately. So, yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon.
I love your teaser. I love the Niners leg of that teaser. I'll give – I had a couple of other legs that I was going to throw out additionally, or actually really just one right now, and that is Minnesota. Currently a 1.5 point underdog at home against the Dallas Cowboys. Now the total on that game, 47.5, the game that you mentioned with the Denver freaking Broncos totals at 41.5. So those 8.5 points that you are getting for the Raiders worth a lot more in a lower scoring game. But if you can get Minnesota out to 7.5, like that quite a bit as well. My first bet is going to be the Bills-Browns game. So let's look at the weather report right now. It is supposed to snow today, tomorrow, and Saturday. On Sunday, it is not supposed to snow. I think that's why we're seeing the total stay over 40. But here's the interesting piece of this. Winds, it's going to be 28 degrees, winds at 20 plus miles per hour. There's also, and this was what I was going to ask before I kind of talk about this, Brad. There's a chance that because of the snow before the game, that they move the game. Is that, what do you think about the possibility of that? It's less about the conditions to play in the game and more about the conditions by which people would be able to get to Buffalo.
Yeah, I think it happened a couple of years ago with Jets Patriots, I want to say was the game. Mm-hmm. I think I read earlier they might move it to Detroit, I think would be where it's kind of a neutral site. They mm-hmm. obviously have a dome, and you're Detroit is on the road this week. Yeah, so no, I like the idea of trying to get CLV on snow. The snow CLV is an interesting play. I like it.
Yeah, so that was going to be my one, right? It was like, hey, if you think this is going to move, you know, if there's a chance that this moves, you could grab the over. Now everyone, 86% of the cash, 80% of the tickets are on the under, and I think everyone's going like 42, are you kidding? You can still get the under here. And I think that's an interesting play. The way that I might play that, though, my bet here is going to be, is if it does stay in Buffalo, 22 mile an hour winds, wind is super impactful. Obviously if it was a thunder snow, that would be super impactful, but wind is the one weather element that really messes with the passing game. And so the Cleveland Browns, with one of the best, run games in the NFL, great offensive line, getting 7.5, you're not getting the best of the number. But in a game that, you know, could potentially be played in a snowstorm like that, and if it happens to go to, say, Detroit, you're still live there. You know, if you bet the under and the game goes to Detroit, I think you're in trouble. But if it goes to Detroit, you've still got the Browns plus more than a touchdown. That is my first one. Tej, where are you going next?
Yeah, so just a note on that game there. So it was Bills Jets 2014, Brad, that got moved to Ford Field. It was a school night. My parents didn't let me stay up. I was really sad about it. But I did get forwarded an email from someone who does like some work at Ford Field. And Ford Field is starting to prepare for the possibility that the game gets moved to Detroit. So I do like taking the over there and, you know, hoping that they go through with it. So, you know, that's some information that can help your bet there. But my next bet is Bengals minus -4 against the Steelers. So, you know, if you look at everything that had to happen in week one for Cincinnati to end up losing that game or for that game to go into overtime, Joe Burrow turned the ball over 5 times. You know, one of them was a pick 6. When he fumbled, Pittsburgh got 3 points off that turnover. So that's 10 points Pittsburgh's offense was getting off of turnovers. I don't think Burrow will turn the ball over 5 times in this game. Like maybe, you know, an interception or two. But Pittsburgh's offense is really, really bad. Like they rank 26th in EPA per play right now. And the Bengals, the last time we saw them, it looked like they're figuring out their ground game and kind of figuring out like a better way to attack teams without Ja'Marr Chase. And so, you know, when you can get 4 points, I think, you know, you can take both the team with the better offense, with the better defense, and kind of take advantage of, you know, some people maybe thinking that it'll be a repeat of what happened in week one. But I just don't see the Steelers scoring that many points in this game. So even if the Bengals don't have the high flying offensive attack that we're used to, I don't think they'll gift the Steelers as many points as they did last time and, you know, kind of take advantage of that in this game and cover the 4-point spread.
That. Brad, where are you going next?
Yeah, so I'm actually going with Tej's Detroit Lions now that we're talking all about Ford Field. They're plus +3 against the Giants. I'm going to keep fading the Giants until I just keep losing money, I suppose. But actually, no, I took Seattle on the pod, and they covered there. But anyway, so Lions getting a full field goal. I liked them last week in Chicago as well, getting a full field goal. They are 14th in EPA per play. The Giants are 8th, so they're not much of a difference there. Their defense is worse. I do think the Giants' one weakness has been kind of Darnay Holmes and this rotation of players they've had in the slot. Amon-Ra St. Brown was back in a big way against Chicago, just absolutely dominated my guy. Kyler Gordon was open on seemingly every drop back. And, you know, when Tom Kennedy wasn't running wild down the sideline against Jalen Johnson. But nevertheless, you know, I still don't totally believe in this Giants team. It's kind of two teams where the one score games have gone opposite directions throughout the season. I think they're better, but I like them getting a full field goal here. I think they can cover the full field goal.
Like where your head is at. I am going to go to Thursday night. I think there are two plays here that are worth playing. One is if you're a little more fine, you want to take on a little more risk, you can get the Titans plus +150 on the money line in Green Bay tonight. And if you want to take the spread, plus +3.5. I think this should be a field goal or less than a field goal. Titans, the better team than the Packers this year. And the Packers kind of benefited from a nice matchup against the Cowboys that will not be the case against the Titans, as we talked about with Seth Kalina. So I like the Titans here. The Titans is kind of anemic of a passing offense as they have been, actually have a more efficient passing offense than the Green Bay Packers, who everyone's just going to remember Christian Watson catching 3 touchdowns last week and not notice the fact that he has a couple of drops even in that game, and that overall they have been pretty anemic, whereas the Titans run defense very, very stout. So like the Titans plus +3.5 on Thursday night. Tej, what do you got next?
Yeah, love those bets, guys. I'll dip into the player props now, and this is one that'll be written up on pff.com, PFF app. Lamar Jackson over 61.5 rushing yards against the Carolina Panthers. So, like, again, like, this is a yearly thing. Like, Lamar is the best rushing quarterback in the NFL. You know, he's averaging 8.9 yards per carry on design rushes this year. In my rushing yards over expected metric, he's getting 3.1 rushing yards over expected, the most in the entire NFL. with a minimum of 50 rushes. So, you know, obviously just an insane runner. And like we saw the Packer or the Panthers run defense kind of be susceptible to a mobile quarterback last week when Marcus Mariota ran for 43 yards against them on just 3 attempts. So if Lamar Jackson is getting, you know, 8, 9, 10 attempts in this game, whether it's design rushes or scrambles, I really think he can go over this 61.5 rushing yards. You know, I think I would even play it all the way up to maybe 63.5. So, you know, if you want to do a player prop this week, I like, you know, Lamar Jackson rushing yards over.
My fantasy team could certainly use that. I was actually looking at Lamar over 1.5 passing touchdowns. One of the bets that our betting model that you can get, by the way, with a PFF Plus subscription on PFF.com and the PFF app that likes that one as well. Mark Andrews should be back in this game. Correct, Brad?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Brad, you got any more for us?
One more. It's a prop for tonight as well. Not the one I mentioned earlier. It just popped up and I noticed it is Austin Hooper under 2.5 receptions. He's gone under that in every single game this year, except for week 10 against Denver. We've also seen the emergence of rookie Chigo Okonkwo out of Maryland, who is an awesome athlete, has 2 catches for, I want to say, 80-something yards the past 2 weeks with massive yards after the catch potential, but also I think just not a good matchup. You're going to get some Quay Walker, who has become a really good coverage linebacker already as a rookie, maybe some Adrian Amos, who's a good safety, obviously, and Tennessee just doesn't really throw the ball. So I like the under 2.5 receptions for Austin Hooper here.
Big fan of under receptions bets. I say, you know, you're sharp. If you play under receptions props, you get it, because everyone else, 80% of player prop bets are on overs. It's not surprising. Okay. I've got one more. And this was just looking at other teaser options. But I forgot about the fact that the Colts won last week. The simple fact that I just don't know if, like, beating the Raiders when you swap out quarterbacks at the last minute is really something that you want to kind of believe is going to continue. They are a 7-point underdog at home to the Eagles. The Eagles came off of a loss to the Commanders where, I mean, they might have gotten about as unlucky as any team in the NFL has all year, if you consider all of the penalties that were just ridiculous. But also, I mean, like, indicative of that game, Taylor Heineke fumbles it and should lose like 25 yards, manages to get a pass, a throwaway off, saves the team 20 yards. Every play like that for the Eagles went the other way. So teasing them down to a single point in a bounce back spot for them against a Colts team that certainly getting overvalued here and everyone drinking the Jeff Saturday Kool-Aid. So I like that one with the San Francisco 49ers down to 2 as well. All right. Any more from you, Tej, before we pick?
No, that's all for me.
All right. So there's a debate going on between Brad and I right now as to whether we should go back to a single lock of the week or whether we want to continue giving multiple locks. Tej, where do you stand on that?
I like the single lock of the week. You know, I think if the FTX taught us anything, it's maybe don't put all your eggs in one basket, but I still like, you know, keeping it simple here for this aspect of things. So let's do the single lock.
All right. Let's make sure we have this backed by real currency. Brad, where does your heart and your head lean here?
I think it's one of those 4 legs in a teaser. My favorite of the 4 is the Niners down to 2 points.
I'm in lockstep with you, and Niners is my favorite. Tej, what's your favorite second leg for that teaser?
I think the favorite second leg would probably also be the Raiders out to 8.5.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Brad. That was your original selection. You good to rock with that?
I love it.
All right, so the lock of the week, single, only one, but let's make it count. The San Francisco 49ers teased from 8 down to 2 against the Arizona Cardinals with God knows who at quarterback, potentially an injured Kyler Murray, and our Las Vegas Raiders. They just lost to the Colts. They're a laughingstock, but they're playing the Denver Broncos on the road. You can tease that up to 8.5. I'm sure. I just know that Derek Carr won't let us down. What could possibly go wrong? I know Jimmy G won't let us down. Know that. That is the lock of the week. We appreciate all the members of the printing press for hanging out with us. We love you. Tej, thank you so much. Seth Galina, of course, and Judah Fort Gang as well. We appreciate you. We'll be back on Sunday night to guess the line. So make sure you come hang out with us if you're not part of that podcast on Sunday night after the games to guess the lines. You're missing out. And of course, check out all of the great content from Brad, Tej, Seth, and Judah on the PFF app and on social media. Fellas, we'll talk to you later. Peace.